Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And like many of you, I pay high electric bills. And so joining me in studio right now, who has always been good to talk about ways to reduce those electricity usage and other energy usage as well, Melissa Davis is with me. She's the energy manager for Heat and the managing director for New Power Tour. Melissa, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning. Hello, everybody out there in radio land.
This has been really a hectic, well, about 2 years now. Oh. This has been going on where you've been involved in the whole Georgetown University Energy Prize and the creation of Heat and the Houghton Energy Efficiency Team and the project that you've been working on. And it's coming to an end here soon. But just for people that maybe don't know exactly what we're talking about, let's just recap a little bit. How did this all get started?
Let's see. We've been in the competition phase since the beginning of January 2015. So in 2014, a really inspired computer science student from Michigan Tech approached Houghton County about entering this $5 million Georgetown University Energy Prize competition. And Houghton County took him up on it. And then some more really motivated and inspired people from the environmental policy program at Michigan Tech, these grad students pretty much carried the ball through all of these academic milestones and hurdles to make it so that Houghton County would be completely eligible to compete. And then in 2015, January 1st, that's when pretty much the momentum sort of switched over to our nonprofit that has been doing energy efficiency work and work with renewable energy in the area since 2006. It was a really good fit. And ever since then, I haven't slept a wink.
Yeah, when this is all done, you get to save some personal energy after.
Really, it'll be January, and I'll be flopped over and flatlining. Just for a month.
Yeah. Sort of like coming off of a rock and roll tour, and then you got to get back in the studio. Tell me a little bit about New Power Tour. I don't know much about them as an entity amongst themselves.
We are a 501c3, and we got established in 2006, and our mission is to increase the use of renewable water and energy efficient technologies. And so as we got going, a lot of our initial beginning was working with people to get good people on our board and do research on our generation issues in the Keweenaw and the UP, naturally sort of by proxy. But then we all realized how challenging and frustrating that is, so we wanted to do something also that just made an immediate impact and was really satisfying for me, which is doing homeowner energy efficiency. And we paired up with ETEC over at Michigan Tech, which is an enterprise, and it stands for Efficiency Through Engineering and Construction Technologies. And so basically, a team of their students would come with us and partner with us and some and Horizon students and also Bridge School when that was open. And we go into people's houses and tighten them up for them and make them more energy efficient and more comfortable. So for mostly the elderly population, we worked with Little Brothers at that time. And we got good at it. You know, we started to see what's the low-hanging fruit, what you can do on a shoestring, and what you can do with free labor. So as this Georgetown project came along, it put us in the catbird seat for like helping evolve simple things that like a checklist that people can do for their houses, and that'll be some of the competition is. I'm gonna shotgun here in tangent. The competition metrics are 25% on the natural gas and electricity that we reduce our consumption by from our baseline, which was taken in 2013 and 2014. So we're working against ourselves, or we're working against our previous record, along with these other 50 communities. And so that's 25% of 100 points, and there's also outreach and education and working with different diverse groups. So as we wrap this up on December 31st of this year, we're going to be making this report that talks about all the ways that we have, all the work that we've done and leveraged in all these different areas.
So New Power Tour, they were doing this type of work very similar for 10 years before, pretty much 10 years before this even kind of got going.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, I always kind of thought it was, I knew it was a grassroots effort, but I thought it was, you know, within the time frame of the Georgetown Energy Prize that sort of everything got off the ground. Well, what kind of work do you do when you go into a home? What can be done? You're looking around, and I'm sure your eyes have been pretty well trained. You can kind of walk into a place and you're like, oh my goodness, look at those windows.
Or look at this basement. Oh my gosh. Been in a lot of basements. So there's this low-hanging fruit, and we have this 9-point protocol that we developed, and we'd like to build a curriculum around it. But the easy stuff is doing outlet gaskets on your outer walls, and then, you know, getting, like, pipe insulation on your water pipes. And so there's, like, we do a range of super easy things like that, and then we move up the, you know, the ladder to some more of the time-consuming things, which would be like caulking around all your windows and floor trims and your door trim. That all is like really time-consuming, but I mean, you'll be palpably warmer if you spend an hour on a corner of your house if it's not caulked and you actually do that, because it stops the wind from blowing through. So we do that, and then we also... there are a few other things, but we also, the more complicated things that we get to are something called a rim joist seal. And if you go in your basement and you look up around the foundation of your house, the periphery, that's, there's a piece of wood on there or a beam called a rim joist or a band joist. And you go into each of those places where the floorboards meet that joist, and those are called joist bays. And what we do is... we take blue board and spray foam, and we spray foam around each joist bay, and we cut a piece of blue board that fits into it, and we spray foam around that again. So the materials for that are really inexpensive, but the labor really adds up. So when we come in for 3 hours with like 9 to 12 people in a basement that is reasonably empty, oh, that's a big deal. We can just make this astronomical improvement in 3 hours. It's like a team working for, well, one person working for a week and a half. So that's really, really a nice experience. And then as you're there, the more you do it, the warmer the basement gets as you do it. And you're like, it's really satisfying. So if you ever want to learn how to do that, you can come participate, tighten up somebody's house, learn how to do that for your own house. And I want to also back up and say that there's these like $5 to $6 cans of spray foam that you can get at Walmart and the grocery stores or the hardware stores, and they're just if you use them, they're okay for spot fixing, but if you try to use them for anything serious, there's just nothing but frustration. So we have these nice guns and these big cans, and so those are like the mid-level professional grade tools before you get to the guys like Smart Foam or Superior Polymer. They have like the, you know, these giant units that gets you more into the upper levels of expense. So, I just want to finish off by saying, if you do think that you're interested in doing that in your own basement, we will be willing to lend you the guns and show you how to do it, as long as you buy the rest of the foam. And you can get these big, like 16-ounce cans, I think they are, for $15, and they will go a long way.
Now, you've been on site when you've had these kinds of things going on, and you know, when you're talking about all these people that come over and do it, you're not talking about, you know, a contact tracting crew. When I've come over, it's been, at least what I've seen, is usually a lot of teenagers and other volunteers. You had Superior AmeriCorps, I believe, were they helping you out for a while too?
Yeah.
The different people volunteering to come into the house is kind of neat. And you said that during the time that they're doing the insulation, you could feel it get warmer in the basement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most generally.
That is pretty amazing. That I know it's a big job to do, as you mentioned, but doing just one job can make that big of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then plus we're moving around, so we're warming up too.
There's that.
Yeah.
In my own house, and we're renting the house, so there's not a whole lot of changes we could make to it, but the utility room is attached to the back of the house, and it must have been added on at some point. And the back door, which goes from the kitchen to the utility room, used to be the back door. So you have this back room, and there's piping in there, but there is no heat in the back room with all that piping. And
your water tank can't be back there.
No, the water tank is actually down below. Mm-hmm. You know, back there, all there is the washer and the dryer.
But still, if your boiler or your furnace is back there, it's like that excess heat it's producing is not going into your house, just the work it does.
Yeah. But those pipes will freeze if we don't leave that back door open. And then when it's really cold, run an electric heater in that back room. Well, I want to say it's probably about $100 a month to heat the utility room to keep the pipes from freezing. And it's nuts.
Especially if it's an electric heater. That is a... Yeah, that's some bad design. So is it a boiler or a furnace?
We have a furnace, and it's downstairs in the basement. And but there's no heat. There's no heat register. There's nothing in that utility room other than the... There's a washer and dryer.
Oh, so it's your washer and dryer.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
your washer and dryer and your what?
The washer and dryer. That's all that's back there. And then the back door that goes to the backyard. So, like, I think it probably at one point those items were down in the basement. And then somebody got a great idea to put an addition in the back of the house. But there's no way to heat that area other than to leave the back door open, which is the same thing. If you have a porch, a front porch, and I know a lot of people have, imagine through your winter leaving your front door open.
You know? So you're paying more money and you're colder.
Yep. In order to heat that, and then if we're doing it with, you know, if we decide to leave the door open and have it heat through, you know, by the forced air heating system in the house, well, our bedroom's upstairs, and the register, the thermostat's downstairs, and if that thermostat's being affected by that back door,
then you're getting really hot in the bedroom.
Getting really hot in the bedroom because the heat's running all night long, trying to, you know, because we're losing heat out the back door. So then we have to shut it and run the electric heater.
So how well insulated is that porch?
Fair, but not enough to keep pipes from freezing.
Well, I mean, you might as well really go over it if your landlord, if you can get the landlord to pop for the materials to really go over it. That would be a big deal. It really would.
Yeah, I bet it would. And so they're the one that told us to get the electric heater. So. But when you talk about, you know, opportunities, I mean, you know, I'm not the only one who has a situation like that where, you know, it's like, gosh, you know, you probably would walk in and you would want to rip your hair out.
Every house has something special. Every house.
Something special.
Very few don't have that little extra special thing that's a total headache. That's why we like to have a handy guy come along too. It's like, just to have the homeowner say, okay, ask the homeowner, well, okay, what is just like, what's just on your list that you can't even deal with? Here, we have somebody here for 3 hours that might be able to help. So.
Well, they have to make an appointment to come to my house and then point out what we can do. Maybe you mentioned about insulation tape. I don't even know really what's there. I'd like to have those kids come over. They probably do a lot more work than I can do. But we're entering in the cold season, and of course that's a, you know, a big thing. And you mentioned about the rim joists and stuff. Let me just ask about some other things that people, you know, may know, you know, think about doing before it gets too bad, too cold outside. The plastic on windows. I see, you know, those, they sell those kits at stores. Do those do a lot?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's the third. I call it the time sucks, it's caulking the rim joist seal in the indoor storms. One of our volunteers came up with a really nice indoor storm, and you just use 1x2 with some super heavy plastic, and you staple it onto that, and then you put a little screen stop over that to make it look nice and tack it down. And then we have these indoor storms that you can put in and out seasonally for the same price as the infuriating plastic wrap, you know. So every year you're spending that money on those kits, but you could build an indoor storm. Or you could come to our office and we could build your indoor storm for you. I'm thinking about a fundraiser for our nonprofit that makes it so that you give us the dimensions of your window and then we build it for you, and then you can take it home and pop it in. So you put it on the inside of your house, but you know, you have to have a nice space that it'll fit in. And then you put this, it's called backer rod around that, which is a circular sort of can koozie insulation. And that, for drafty windows are super expensive to replace, put those in, and then you can put them in and out seasonally, spend that $5 and have them be good for 5 years instead of every year, yeah.
We've talked a lot about light bulbs, and we'll get back to how to winterize your home a little bit better. But the thought of, you've done a lot to get people to bring in a light bulb, get one, and then purchase more at least LED bulbs. And I did that with the number of my bulbs at home. And though our electric rates are so high, it's hard to tell if any, you know, if anything really come down. But at least as far as what I thought that would be a detriment of using those bulbs, the things I've heard, the ones that were the twisty bulbs, we had some of those in the house, and they're awful. They take forever to get bright. They glow when you turn them off. They're generally just, I preferred as a consumer an incandescent bulb, but the LED bulbs that you guys were providing, those are tremendous. Those are great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The LEDs are a really big deal. And, so I brought my little list of numbers, but before I go into that, we've been able to give people, if they're income qualified, 8 LEDs. So we have an office now in downtown Hancock, right near the Orpheum, and if you show up on a Thursday evening between 4 and 8, bring an UPCO bill and proof of income, we can send you out the door with 8 LEDs. So between 2015 and 2016, we have given 6,921 LEDs out to Houghton County. And I have 200 left. So 20 people, I need to make this happen. Come to my office, get LEDs, please. And so the LEDs are, you know, they replace, they're like 9 watts and they replace 60 watts. So if you put enough of them in, you'll see your electricity bill go down. But also, just for fun, Walmart, I talked to the store manager there, Jeff Weeks, and he told me that the Houghton store is the number one selling LED store in the whole country.
Wow. Really?
So that's going to help us, too. Yeah, that's really impressive.
Given our population challenge, I wonder how, if they're just talking about pure volume, that, you know, out of all the stores in the country, including some of them that are some major population centers, that ours would have the most?
Yes. Ours is making them go out the doors.
It's got to make you feel good.
It makes me feel good.
Oh, we're seeing municipalities switch over to LED. Mm-hmm. I know that Houghton did. I know with Hancock Streetscape, LED bulbs are part of that plan. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning that Calumet has that going on right now.
Well, they're sort of underway. They're working with Marsha Goodrich, who's been working with Heat so much as our media person. So she's kind of walking them through that process, because there are different incentives and supports that municipalities can access to finance that.
Yeah, they've gotten, I know of grants and things that people have gotten, or groups and organizations have gotten. I think they put LED bulbs at the Lauren Grove hockey rink or something.
Mm-hmm,
recently
they're working
too
on that. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of neat to see. And you've changing a couple of light bulbs in your home, that's great. And if everybody does it, it's super great. But when you start thinking about, citywide, all of the lights of the city going LED, and of course that the cost that's associated to make that happen and being grant funded, it's just free savings for the city. And you might imagine that, since they pay their bills with tax money, mm-hmm. That's more money that can be used for other things. It's a kind of a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're saving money.
Did you go through all those?
Oh, right. Nope, not yet. So I have a list of things that we have managed to accomplish. It's because we like numbers. So this is since the beginning of 2015 and through the end of 2016, we've replaced 79 refrigerators with Energy Star refrigerators, because they're so much more efficient, and the old refrigerators really, really use a lot of electricity. And also this year, we've really been working on heat pump water heaters for people that have electric water heaters. And we're in the middle of that, but we're going to have put out there into Houghton County 45 of those. And then also 5 gas on-demand water heater replacements. And then there's also, for anybody that has an electric water heater, they're eligible to get these free home energy scores, and we've done 199 of those. And lastly, that home winterization thing that you and I were just talking about with all the service groups, like in a week and a half we're going to be doing one with River Valley Bank over in Dollar Bay. And I just have to say, they've done 3. They are just like such champs. This will be their third one. So we've done 55 volunteer home winterizations too. So those, that's like heat by the numbers. And also we're working with, what's really the reason this is happening is because Efficiency United has the money to make all this happen. So Efficiency United, some of you may have heard about them already. They actually have been hired by the PSC to spend the money that comes off our utility bills. So it's like an allocation thing. And but the thing is that it's really hard for people to deal with like the website and the phone menus and the bureaucracy. So for this competition, our nonprofit has stepped up to the plate and tried to make this really, you know, get this to people. So where I'm going with that is what they're talking about next year is attic insulations. And if you go to our website, New Power Tour LED program, and that there's a form on that page. And so if you want to start like getting in line for next year, making this easier and making this happen, you could go there and get your contact information together for that. And then we'll reach out to you to help make these materials and this equipment into your home.
So even though that the contest is over come the end of this year, that's not the end for this major effort.
Right. Right. We'll keep helping make this happen as long as there are resources to make this happen.
Since I already painted myself as one of the biggest energy guzzlers in the Copper Country with our back door, I want to say one thing that we do have, and I've heard that this is a good thing to have in your home, is it's a programmable thermostat. Mm. And to me, it seems kind of simple because, for as long as I remember, it seems like I've had one. And I get used to it that it's just there. And it's set at 63 degrees. And so when I get home from work, it's cold. And when I get up in the morning, it's cold. But when I get home, I turn it up to 68. And usually that's about as high as I go. If I want to walk around in shorts all day, I'll put it up to 70. But usually 68. And that's nice and toasty if you can, you know, wear some slippers and have a lap blanket. And then when I go to bed, I don't touch it because at midnight, it drops. Well, by that time, I'm already asleep. I'm already under my nice warm blanket, and then it drops to 63. And then I get up, get in the shower, and head out the door, and it stays at 63 all day. Imagine if that was at 68 all the time, or some people put it up 70 or 72, and it's just heating up the house all that time. Well, I come home to a nice toasty house, but it really doesn't take long for it to warm up when I kick the heat on when I get home.
Yes. I know there's some stats on like per degree that you raise your heat, how much gas you use, but I don't have that memorized. It's really significant though. Like Rick, if you drop that to 55.
Oh yeah.
Well, you're going to save so much money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I probably have a frozen cat, but
there are people that do that have that stamina. That's more stamina than I have.
That's a little more than I have. Though I know I have two refrigerating units. One is just a standard freezer or refrigerator and freezer. And I think it's fairly new. It's not an old unit. But then we have an old box freezer. And, you know, I look at that thing and I can almost hear it sucking the energy. But the freezer of the refrigerator is so small. And I usually go grocery shopping about once a month. There's no way it would hold the groceries. Mm-hmm. So the freezer's working. And I know that freezer has got to be, you know, working twice as hard as that refrigerator that's sitting right next to it.
Yeah, if it's old. Yeah.
I know it's at least 5 years old, if not probably about 8.
Oh, maybe that's not that old, though. You know, I mean, compared to like the super duper old ones. Yeah, that's a tough call. I have two freezers.
Well, sometimes you got to. It's difficult to get to grocery stores.
And I like to get that farm fresh cow and pig and store it and bones and fat.
We're learning
Make
more about
bone
you.
Bone broth, yeah.
You're not all about energy efficiency.
I am, and that's another thing too. I mean, you can get really over the top and sort of finger pointing and everything. And the way I see it, everybody's going to do what they can. And nobody really has the right to decide what other people should do, you know?
Well, we've had shows in here when I've had you and Marcia in, and we've talked about, you know, all the things that you people out there should be doing. And this time I liked the way it went because we wanted to just talk about the effort, you know, and what we have to look forward to. And hey, if, you know, here's some things you can do if you want to help reduce your energy bills, but the big effort's coming, you know, here to a close in a few weeks now.
Also, I guess while we're closing up here, you know, I was looking at the other numbers and over 1,000 people have put their oar into this project in one way or another for a few hours at a time. And some people have like really sunk a lot of time into it. And I feel so lucky to have been able to be just sort of in the middle of all that. And then I guess while I have the chance, I'd like to thank everybody for everything that everybody's done. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Melissa, thanks for coming on the program again. It's always nice to talk to you.
You too, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.